WFAE streaming is sponsored by Corporate Information Technologies, a local IT company assisting business and taking a proactive approach to technology. CIT, let us show you how good IT can be. corp-infotech.com.
It's Charlotte Talks. I'm Julie Rose, in for Mike Collins. Since World War II, the GI Bill has offered veterans a free college education. In 2008, it was tailored to the needs of thousands of veterans returning from battle in Iraq and Afghanistan. Then, last year, a cost-cutting move by Congress made for a big cost to some veterans. The GI Bill now only covers in-state tuition rates at public universities. To understand the impact of that move, think about military life for a minute. It's a transient one. Training in one state, based in another, transferring every few years, deployed overseas. For that very reason, the federal government doesn't even require service members to change their driver's licenses every time they move. One veteran told me it was so hard to put down roots while in the service that he felt like a citizen of America more than of any particular state. Now, that won't be enough to get you the in-state tuition rate at the University of North Carolina. So many veterans have struggled since the GI Bill changed last year. Two veterans in North Carolina say the UNC system's actually going out of its way to make things harder for veterans. And they're now suing for $10 million. We'll talk to them later in the show. But first, I'm joined by Chuck Sanchez. He's a veteran service officer with the North Carolina Division of Veterans Affairs. And he's with me to get to the basics about what the GI Bill does, what it doesn't do, and what exactly changed in the last year. Mr. Sanchez, thanks so much for your time.
Well, thank you. You're welcome. Glad to be here.
Thank you. So can we just start with, first of all, how many do we know approximately how many veterans in North Carolina are taking advantage of the GI Bill?
No, ma'am, we really don't. We do know overall a total from the Department of Veterans Affairs how many veterans have applied within the United States, but we don't have an actual breakdown of North Carolina by number.
Okay. And I did see one number where the University of North Carolina has attempted to quantify how many students it has on campuses. I think the number in fall of 2011 was about 6,000 students that semester were taking advantage of GI Bill benefits on its 16 campuses. So what exactly does that mean? When a student is taking advantage of the GI Bill, what, for example, what's the maximum benefit paid for those students?
Maybe it depends on the type, the chapter that they're under, whether it be the old Montgomery or the new post 9/11. Each one is different in its own qualifications.
Let's talk about the post 9/11 bill specifically for right now.
Okay. Well, the post 9/11 students are receiving free tuition and fees. They're receiving a book stipend of $500 a semester. With a maximum of $1,000 per academic year. And then they're also receive a housing allowance. It's called a MHA, and that's paid at the rate of 85 with dependents, which is normally given to the student on a monthly basis.
And any service member who served in Iraq or Afghanistan since 2011 can get that benefit?
That's correct, ma'am, but they also must qualify with it as long as it has an honorable discharge.
Okay, honorable discharge. Now, how much tuition will the bill cover? Just any tuition at any university in the country?
Actually, ma'am, it's done by state. And in this case, in the state of North Carolina, the maximum for an academic year as of prior to the recent change with the cost of living was $17,500 as far as the highest in-state tuition and fees for the post 9/11.
$17,000 per year, is that correct, or per semester?
That's per semester.
Okay. Now, so what changed in August of last year with regard to this bill?
Okay. In regards to the bill that you're referring to right now, the president signed a public law on November the 21st, which was called the Veterans Opportunity to Work Heroes Act. This is a program that's implemented for those veterans who have ceased using their GI Bill. They must be at least 35, but no more than 60 years old. They must be unemployed as of the date of their application. They must have received an other than dishonorable discharge. They're not eligible They must have used all of their benefits under the old Montgomery or the post 9/11 or vocational rehabilitation. They can't be in receipt of compensation due to VA disability, and they can't be enrolled in any other federal and state program.
Okay, so you're saying that there was something that went into effect last November, a year ago, that is a benefit for older veterans then, who over 35, who've already used up their initial GI Bill benefits prior to 9/11? Is that correct?
That's correct, ma'am.
Okay. Now, what about, though, the in-state versus out-of-state tuition change? My understanding is that back last year as well, that a change went into effect where only in-state tuition rates are being covered for public universities. How exactly is that working?
Okay. Previous to August, as you indicated, the VA was paying in-state and out-of-state tuition. But in August of 2011, the VA clarified it and made it they would only pay in-state tuition. So if a student did not qualify for in-state tuition, they would have to pay the difference between the in-state and the out-of-state tuition.
Okay, so in North Carolina, obviously each state university here in North Carolina has its own in-state tuition rate. So if I'm a veteran and I come back from Iraq, I'm honorably discharged, I want to enroll at a UNC school, and I can qualify for North Carolina residency, then the GI Bill will pay for whatever the in-state rate is at that university?
That's correct, as long as you qualify for North Carolina residency.
Okay, and if I don't qualify, you say that I would have to make up the difference. The out-of-state rate can sometimes maybe be double what the in-state rate is, and I'd have to pay for that out of my own pocket, the difference there.
Yes, you would, but I would like to add a little something. Normally, we encourage all veterans to apply for any financial aid through the federal government, through the FAFSA program, and in many cases, that will take up quite a bit of the debt that's left.
Okay, so there are financial aid options available. How does this work, though, just mechanically speaking? I mean, is the money coming? Does the VA send me, the veteran, a check, and then I go to the university and pay my tuition, or does the money go straight to the university?
Now, in the case of what we're talking about, the VRAP program, the payment is done just as in the old Montgomery GI Bill. In this case, the student would receive a check at the end of the month, and they would be responsible for making sure that they pay the university.
Okay, so and that's how it's currently working with folks who are on the post 9/11. These Iraq and Afghanistan veterans are then getting a check, and then they pay the tuition.
No, ma'am, let me clarify.
Thank you.
In reference to the post 9/11,
yes,
student is identified as a Chapter 33 post 9/11. His tuition and fees are sent directly to the school, and he is earmarked so that he or she does not have to pay anything.
So something interesting that I learned, Mr. Sanchez, and I'm hoping maybe you can elaborate on this for me. You know, I've spoken to veterans who, since this change has happened, you know, in the last year, they actually didn't realize that they were qualified or that they had been enrolled as in-state or as out-of-state students at a university for that very reason. It sounds like the money goes directly to, you know, they never got a bill for tuition because the VA was sending the check directly to the university. So they didn't have to really worry if they'd been in-state or out-of-state. They just signed up and started taking courses, and the VA paid the bill. Is that correct?
Ma'am, I really can't speak to that. To that issue.
Okay.
That is for the school.
Okay, so the money goes directly to the university, though. And what happens at a private university? I mean, if I want to enroll at a non-state school, what will the post 9/11 GI Bill pay for me then?
The post 9/11 at a private school will still pay the, in this case, what we talked about, the maximum of $17,500. And if the student is, if that university or college is able to or has signed up for the Yellow Ribbon program, then they're eligible to use it as well, as long as post 9/11.
What's the Yellow Ribbon program? I'm sorry.
The Yellow Ribbon program is where a university has said that they are prepared to accept the overage and to cut it in half, where the university would take half of it and the VA would take the other half.
Okay. So, but from a veteran's perspective then, when veterans come to you looking for help, taking advantage of their GI Bill, post-9/11 GI Bill, if they don't think they can qualify or they're not an in-state student, a resident of North Carolina, then they have two options. They can either pay, make up the difference, or in some cases they could actually go to a private university and not have to pay anything because that benefit is $17,000. Versus if I go to a University of North Carolina school, I may have to pitch in $4,000 or $5,000 a semester to make up the difference. Is that – am I getting that right?
Well, ma'am, the student would have to apply for the benefit first, making sure that they qualify, and then that's within the school's purview as far as in-state or out-of-state. I really can't speak to that issue as far as the – what the private university would be charging, less or more.
Right. Okay. But the maximum benefit at a private university is $17,000.
Ma'am, there has been a recent change. It's just a cost of living. It is a little bit more than that now.
Okay.
But as of 1 August, it was $17,500.
Okay. Okay. And at a private university, it's the in-state rate, whatever that in-state rate is.
That is correct.
Okay. Now, are there any special accommodations made for veterans applying to school in North Carolina? As a result of the GI Bill, anything that the GI Bill says a university must do when a veteran applies?
Ma'am, as far as it's a federal benefit, and the rules are quite clear. The university, unless they have something of their own under the financial aid packet, whereby they may give a student that attends that university, but that's something that was in that school's compensation, and that may be separate from on a case-by-case basis.
Okay. Now, if you're active duty, is the rule different? Active duty, the GI Bill does not apply to active duty, right? So active duty can enroll just based on what the state allows?
Ma'am, that's a separate program. If a student normally is active duty, they're normally using what we call the tuition assistance program.
Okay.
And that's totally separate.
Okay. Okay. My understanding is that in North Carolina, it actually does allow you to enroll at the in-state rate at universities in North Carolina. Now, which I understand is outside of your purview. But let me just ask you this finally in the last few minutes I've got you on the line. I have heard, Mr. Sanchez, from veterans in North Carolina that say there's a pretty big delay in actually getting their benefit payments right now. There obviously have been so many veterans coming back from the wars overseas in the Middle East, that a veteran will enroll, they'll find out they qualify for the GI Bill, they'll sign up for classes, but then they could end up in a real bind when the payment hasn't come, and so their tuition is due, their rent is due, and they haven't actually gotten their checks from the VA yet. What's going on there, and has that been addressed yet at this point?
Yes, ma'am, it has been addressed. Normally, when the school identifies each veteran as a post-9/11, the school will wait for the money as long as they've been identified. And then they understand with the backlog, because with so many veterans coming back, when they initially apply, the VA has to make sure that they qualify, and that has caused some delay. There is a accommodation being put into place for financial hardship,
okay,
where the school certifying official can work with the VA to try to make sure that the payment is expedited if they qualify for hardship.
Okay. Mr. Sanchez, thank you very much for your time. I've been speaking with Chuck Sanchez, a veteran service officer with the North Carolina Division of Veterans Affairs. Coming up after a quick break, we'll talk with a couple of veterans in North Carolina about the challenges they've faced in accessing the GI Bill. They're actually suing the UNC system for discrimination. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE.
Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and the College Foundation of North Carolina, offering the North Carolina 529 College Savings Plan, one of the many services helping families plan, apply, and pay for college. cfnc.org/nc529. I'm Erin Kiever. We're coming back to Charlotte Talks in just a moment. And coming up on the show tomorrow, over the past 3 years, Steve Green, president of retailer Hobby Lobby, has amassed one of the world's largest private collections of biblical texts and artifacts. He's taken this collection on the road and is sharing it with the masses through the exhibition Passages, which is now on display in Charlotte. Steve Green joins us to talk about why he started his collection and the surprising speed at which he accumulated such an impressive number of these artifacts. We'll find out why he decided to share the collection with the public, and we'll hear from biblical experts about some of the artifacts themselves. That's Charlotte Talks tomorrow at 9.
On the next Diane Rehm Show, the conflict between Israel and the Palestinians in Gaza, how the escalation in hostilities could affect stability in the region and U.S. foreign policy.
Join us for 2 hours at the Diane Rehm Show this morning from 10 to noon, right after Charlotte Talks, here on 90.7 WFAE, listener-supported public radio.
It's Charlotte Talks on 90.7 WFAE. I'm Julie Rose in for Mike Collins, and we're talking about the GI Bill and some of the challenges student veterans have faced trying to actually take advantage of that all-expenses-paid college education. Joining me now from the studios of WHQR in Wilmington, North Carolina, is Jason Thigpen. He's a National Guardsman, founder of the Student Veterans Advocacy Group. He's also a plaintiff in a newly filed discrimination lawsuit against the University of North Carolina. Jason, thanks for joining me.
Well, thanks so much, Julie, for having me.
And the other plaintiff in that lawsuit is also with us by phone from Fayetteville. Haley Perez served 14 months in the U.S. Army in Iraq. And Haley, I'd like to actually start with your story. So thanks for being with us today by phone. Your story actually sums up much of what we've just been discussing with Mr. Sanchez at the Division of Veterans Affairs, kind of the bind that veterans can sometimes find themselves in. You, I understand, joined the Army in 2005 as a medic. Why did you do that? Were you having trouble getting into college? Was that the reason there?
No, I was actually attending college and just felt a call to duty, if you will, to kind of contribute to what we had going on in our country.
So you enlisted, and initially, tell me about sort of the path that you followed. First of all, where are you from? Where had you been living when you enlisted?
I was born in Iowa, and that's where I enlisted in the Army from. Went to South Carolina for training, and then was trained as a radiology specialist in Texas, and then at Fort Bragg in North Carolina.
Okay, so Iowa to South Carolina to Fort Bragg. Where you were stationed, and then you deployed for a year and a half, approximately?
15 months, yes, ma'am, to Iraq.
Okay. And then you came back. What happened when you came back?
When I came back, I actually got married to another soldier that had resided in North Carolina since 2000, and we sat down together and decided to make North Carolina our home. I had my driver's license changed, my voter registration changed. We purchased a home in Hope County, and we started to establish ourselves here in North Carolina.
So prior to that time, you had kept your voter registration, your driver's license in Iowa?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So you established that in North Carolina, and then you got out of the Army, or what happened?
Actually, after we purchased our home, my husband was placed on a temporary recruiting assignment in Texas, and I also received active duty orders taking me to Fort Hood. I separated from the Army in September 2009 in Texas and remained with my husband. And as his assignment drew to a close, we knew that we were coming back to North Carolina to our home. So I moved in between the semesters because I was attending college in Texas and applied to two schools within the UNC school system for the spring of 2012. And one university classified me as an in-state resident, and the other school classified me as out-of-state, and both schools were provided with the same materials on the application for evidence of my residency.
What kinds of evidence were you providing of your residency? I mean, you had just been living in Texas, you were born in Iowa, were you paying in-state rates in Texas at that college as well?
Actually, I attended a private university in Texas, and they do not classify you as in-state or out-of-state, and I utilized my post-9/11 GI Bill, for which it paid all of my tuition.
Okay. So coming back to North Carolina, I mean, what did you have to show that you were a North Carolina resident?
My voter registration, which was current since 2008, and I actually participated in both the 2008 and the current presidential elections in our state. my driver's license, my home, property taxes, and my deed to my house.
Okay, and you say one university, was it Fayetteville State?
Fayetteville State gave me the in-state rate, yes, ma'am, and UNC Pembroke classified me as out-of-state.
Okay, why did you apply to two then? Why didn't you just go to Fayetteville State if you could get that cheaper rate there?
Actually, I needed a very specific class that was only offered at Pembroke, so that's actually why I chose to attend there, and then I figured that it would be an easy process, that maybe it was a clerical error, and that I could just go through their appeals process, and that it would be resolved, especially since the other school had seen me as an in-state student.
Now, you're actually suing the University of North Carolina for discriminating against you and for the hardship that this caused you. Tell me, I mean, what really was... There are plenty of people out there who would like to be qualified as in-state students and pay the significantly cheaper tuition. What was it that was so hard, I guess, on you about this experience and why you think it's worth suing over?
Well, I don't think that this is really free education. I think that it's something that service members pay for. It was part of our contractual agreement with the federal government, and I think that it's not an entitlement. It's something that we earned. Through blood, sweat, and often tears. And I think that to deny a veteran seeking higher education to do so at an affordable rate is very shameful.
Now, Jason Thigpen, you actually created the Student Veterans Advocacy Organization, advocacy group, I guess you call it, because you saw a number of students experiencing the same thing. I guess this wasn't an isolated case for Haley.
Sure, Julie, you're exactly right. After I came back from Iraq, a buddy of mine and I were actually both attending UNC Wilmington and started speaking with reaching out to a lot of other student veterans that were coming to us seemingly with having such difficulty in transitioning into the university system with regard to not just their residency, but other veteran benefits that they had earned through their time in service. So we started working with them to assist them in their issues, and I think Haley, you know, came along in January of this year, actually, and we'd already represented about another 20 or so veterans with regard to their residency issues and veteran benefits issues that they were having, and were successful in assisting them in their difficulties.
So what is it? What's the primary hang-up? I mean, what's the hardship that this change in the GI Bill, the post-9/11 GI Bill, that says it'll only cover in-state tuition now? I mean, what's so hard for, a veteran who's stationed at Fort Bragg, who had been stationed before they got out of the military, what's so hard about trying to get into UNC system with that kind of credential?
Well, I don't think it's difficult to actually get into the UNC system. They're very military-friendly, if you will, and we definitely agree with them as far as that goes. But the problem that is really there is that once that change of law occurred affecting the residency for tuition purposes, they've always been military friendly with regard to accepting us as students and taking that money. But when that change of law occurred, which let's keep in mind, since the inception of the GI Bill in the 1940s, this is the first time that residency for tuition purposes ever changed. So it was not the intent from the beginning of establishing the GI Bill for universities and states to actually take advantage, if you will, of our veterans, you know, regarding the cost for tuition. So I think the problem really persists where these schools are not having any kind of issue taking our money. Now they're just taking it from the VA, and now they're trying to take the remaining portion from us. So, these are benefits that we already earned and sacrificed for. It's not a free education, you know, but all of the statistics that the UNC system has done and every other state has done, and at the time we really started our organization, there were about five other states that had already amended their state laws with regard to residency for tuition purposes. And at this point now, it's about 17 to 18 other states we've been able to work with that are now doing so. North Carolina has always and still continues to advertise itself to be the most military-friendly state, but that just, you know, the actions are not supporting that kind of claim. So, you know, the purpose in this lawsuit is not necessarily specific in nature. Just, you know, in one sense it is to our allegations that we're making against the UNC school system, but at the same time, it's really for the voice for other veterans. You know, this is to resolve this issue in a larger part than not, you know, not to just address it for us as individuals, veterans, but for veterans as a whole in the state of North Carolina.
And Jason, we should be clear that you didn't have any trouble qualifying for in-state tuition at UNC Wilmington, correct? This did not affect you as a veteran.
That's correct. It didn't affect me. Okay. I was actually attending UNC Wilmington before I served, and I am a member of the North Carolina National Guard. So, you know, I just happen to be one of the lucky few that didn't get caught in this. And let's, you know, keep in mind, too, that it's very easy to look at certain facts and figures that the UNC system puts out regarding military students and veteran students, but their numbers are not matching. They're not matching what the VA has put out. I know I've sent you this information. We've actually done an audit on the UNC school system. You know, they claim that there's 6,000 students utilizing GI Bill benefits at the universities in North Carolina, but those numbers are just simply not matching up with what the VA is putting out when you actually break it down as a population between private universities, public universities, and then the public community colleges. Let's keep in mind that the discriminatory factor here is also that when the government did make the change in law to the GI Bill, it allowed the private institutions to maintain continuing to get that $17,500 per academic school year, not per semester, per academic school year, while the public universities and community colleges were stuck with, you can only get the maximum in-state rate, you know, which is a huge discrepancy. You know, you're talking about, on average, that in-state rate for the public universities on the higher level, you're talking about somewhere around $7,000 a year, leaving a huge gap between what they're willing to pay out to the private universities versus the public. And it just, you know, the math does not add up. I mean, discrimination, just as a definition, you know, when you treat one group different than you do another, that's discrimination.
Right. Jason, I wanted to jump in here and just mention that we invited the University of North Carolina system to participate on this show today, and they declined, citing the lawsuit that you have filed against them, saying it would be inappropriate for them to be part of this, given that lawsuit. But about 2 months ago, back in September, I actually did speak with the Vice President of Federal, let me make sure I get her title here, it's Kimry Reinhart, with the University of North Carolina system, Vice President for Federal Relations. And she, you know, she said she was at that time, before you filed the lawsuit, but were threatening. She said she was in violent disagreement with your claims, your allegations that the UNC system was purposely trying to make life harder for veterans, and that they were discriminating against folks, veterans, in order to get more money for the system. And I wanted to play an excerpt of my conversation with her that I recorded back in September to give her a chance to kind of state their view. And she was saying, you know, basically our hands are tied as a university. We can't just bend the rules and allow veterans who don't meet the strict in-state residency requirements. We can't bend those rules for veterans, much as we'd like to, because those rules are set by the General Assembly, and that by allowing all veterans to come and pay in-state rates, that would actually be, in essence, a funding cut to the university, because the state would have to make up those funds through their appropriations. And so it's been kind of a tension. And then she also talks about what you just mentioned, this inequity where private universities are getting a much higher subsidy than public universities. So let me just play this. This, again, is Kimry Reinhart from the University of North Carolina system.
Our university has endured significant cuts at the state and the federal level. And so we are trying to limit how much funding we are cut over the next, you know, for the foreseeable future. And, you know, in one regard, if the General Assembly changes the policy, it's almost a cut to the university in one way. So either way, you know, regardless of how these students are funded, we want them on our campuses, and we would love nothing more than for the state to subsidize these students. But we would also like to continue to enjoy the very generous funding that the General Assembly has always provided to the university.
Hmm. So veterans kind of get caught in the middle, though. I mean, what do you do, or what's the message to these veterans who come back and want to go to a state school and feel like they've, you know, paid their dues and that North Carolina's their home, but they don't,
sure.
It doesn't look like it on paper. And so they can't get the in-state tuition and they can't come up with the money, or then they have to find another way to come up with the difference in that
sure.
payment.
Well, unfortunately, you know, I'm aware of some veterans that are caught in a situation they have no residency determination in any state because of their past in the military. And so that student in particular is caught in a troubling situation. You know, from our perspective, the real responsibility here lies with the federal government, because the federal government changed the program, and there is an inequity that is paid. If a student wants to go to a private institution in North Carolina, they are permitted to receive up to $17,500 toward that education. But if they want to go to a public institution, they're limited to the in-state tuition rate. So in a state like North Carolina, where in-state tuition is likely half of what it costs to go to a private institution, you know, we're not even eligible to receive the student isn't eligible to receive the funding that they could receive if they wanted to go to a private institution. So we have been very aggressively working with members of the North Carolina Congressional Delegation, namely G.K. Butterfield from the 1st District, to try and give some equity there so that these students are eligible to receive up to $17,500, and they can choose to go to UNC or Campbell or whatever institution they want, but they're not limited by virtue of the fact they've chosen a public institution versus a private institution.
So Kimry Reinhart there with the University of North Carolina. Now, Haley Perez, you actually ended up enrolling in a private college. I think you're at Methodist, is that right? As a result
yes.
of the fact that they'll pay more for you. You won't have to subsidize your
yes,
tuition.
Ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, but Jason, Haley, you both heard Kimry there saying, look, the federal government made this change. The legislature controls who we qualify as in-state tuition residency. Why are you suing UNC when the problem is actually much bigger than the University of North Carolina system?
Well, I guess I'll jump in.
Sorry, Jason, go ahead first and we'll get you, Haley.
I guess I'll jump in on that, and let's try to clarify something. You know, as the state, the UNC system is concerned, what is the best strategy for them to take in this situation? Well, the best strategy is to put the blame off onto someone else so that they are not taking any culpability or liability for any kind of issues or concerns that are there. So they try to mitigate all of our issues that we're the ones suffering from and put it off on the federal government. So let's just, you know, those are two separate issues. We're addressing this on a federal level as well, and the UNC system has worked so hard on a federal level that they didn't get a bill introduced into the U.S. House. We drafted a bill. We got it introduced through Congressman Butterfield and Congressman McIntyre's offices, as well as getting it co-sponsored by a number of others. We are the ones that actually have been testifying in front of Congress regarding these issues on a national, federal level. But the state has to take its share of responsibility. Let's look across the UNC school system and see what kind of inequity differences are we talking about with regard to veteran education benefits versus the benefits that other minority groups are having in the state school system.
Haley,
and there are huge disparities.
Thanks, Jason. Haley, I want to get your thoughts on this too, but first we have to take a break, then we're going to take some phone calls. It's the GI Bill and student veterans here on Charlotte Talks on WFAE.
Support for Charlotte Talks comes this morning from WFAE members and Donald Hack Diamonds. Serving Charlotte for more than 30 years, Donald Hack Diamonds buys and sells estate jewelry across from South Park Mall, 704-365-4400, or online at donaldhack.com. Coming up next at 10, the conflict between Israel and the Palestinians in Gaza. Join us for the Diane Rehm Show. We'll examine how the escalation in hostilities could affect stability in the region and U.S. foreign policy. That's the Diane Rehm Show up next at 10. If you'd like to join our conversation about student veterans and the GI Bill on Charlotte Talks, call 704-926-9323. That's 800-603-9323. Or email charlottetalks@wfae.org. You can also find us on Facebook and on Twitter. We're coming right back. We'll be right back.
can do more than just listen to WFAE. Connect with us on Facebook, too. Find out about special station events, meet other public radio fans, and there's plenty of behind-the-scenes photos. All you have to do is click on the like button. Log on to Facebook and search for WFAE.
Welcome back. I'm Julie Rose, in for Mike Collins, and you're listening to Charlotte Talks here on 90.7 WFAE. We're talking with Jason Thigpen of the Student Veterans Advocacy Group and Haley Perez, a U.S. Army veteran who says she was discriminated against. And the two of them have actually filed a lawsuit against the University of North Carolina for discrimination against veterans. Haley, before the break, Jason was explaining some of the reasons why he feels like the UNC system has not done as much as they could or should have to help ameliorate this problem with in-state tuition and the difficulty student veterans have in qualifying for what the GI Bill will pay for here in the state. But $10 million is what you're suing this lawsuit, damages and hardship that it's caused you. It seems like a pretty hefty sum. Explain to me why you think $10 million is the right number.
I think it's actually an appropriate starting point. And seldom do these cases actually settle for what they're asked for. And We want to be able to put the money back into the organization and make sure that other veterans that were affected can be assisted with the costs that they've incurred.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and take a call. We've actually got Sonia from Charlotte on line one expressing some of her thoughts about how veterans are being treated. Again, if you'd like to join us, you can call 704-926-9323. Sonia, you're on Charlotte Talks.
Good morning.
Hello.
I'd like to... thank you for having this program. I'd like to say to the veterans that we really appreciate your service to this country. I think the concern that I have is I know that in terms of this show, there has to be, a balance in perspective. But I just feel that the nature of the questions, it just sounds like there's some victim blaming. I really wanted to go back to one of the questions that you had asked. One of the veterans had mentioned that she'd been accepted to two schools. One was out of state, one is in state, and you'd ask her, "Well, why didn't you just go to the school that gave you the money?" But I think that in this job market, what's needed now are specialized skills in the job market, and just an individual, general, overall education is not going to allow anyone to compete, especially veterans who have a much harder time readjusting. So I just wanted to say that, and I think that it probably will take something major like this lawsuit to shake the UNC school system, which I think has been somewhat calcified in some of its programs, fee structures. I mean, they're just kind of frozen in so many areas. So sometimes it takes a major effort to create change. Thank you.
Sonia, thank you very much. And your point about the unemployment rate of veterans is indeed higher than the national average. Jason and Haley, the two of you then are currently in school. Jason, you're enrolled in the UNC system. You're at UNC Wilmington. Haley, you are at Methodist, a private university, as a result of the in-state tuition issue you were unable to get resolved. But what about the other components of your lawsuit? Because it goes beyond just being able to qualify for in-state tuition. And you actually are alleging that the UNC system is not providing the services and support in general that veterans require. What are the grounds for that? Haley, first of all, what did you experience that you feel like justifies that?
With my experience specifically, when I got the initial determination and I went to look for, a place where I could find other veterans and kind of, throw back the ideas and see if there was something else I could do, I didn't find anyone. There was a very small office with a sign on the door and no one there. And it took, Google searches and research on my own to even find a point of contact other than the VA certifying official at the university campus at Pembroke. So I had trouble even locating a point of contact to discuss my issues. And when I did find that person, it seemed as though they didn't really want to help me, and they didn't think I had much of a case. So I was kind of dismissed.
And Jason Thigpen, you are aware, I'm sure, of the UNC Serves initiative at the University of North Carolina. This is an issue, an effort where a task force was created, a study was done, and quite a few recommendations made that are beginning to be implemented to improve veterans' sensitivity and service to veterans at UNC. Tell me, I mean, is that effort not sufficient? Is that what you're saying with this lawsuit?
Well, not only not sufficient, it's nearly non-existent. You know, the fact of the matter really is that the UNC Serves report, while wonderful in nature, its intent is just fantastic. They've done a wonderful job in putting this together. But at the same time, you look at their UNC System Inventory Matrix and the new 2012 UNC Serves report, they haven't implemented any of these changes. And some of the things that they propagate to actually do in serving and being so military friendly are federally required, and they're not even fulfilling all of those things throughout the entire UNC school system. So when you look at their matrix and realize that more than half of the boxes for all of the schools for all of these 30 some categories, many of them are just flagrant, to be honest with you. They might as well have said UNC system accepts cash, you know, and they all got a green box on that one. And UNC accepts credit cards. They all got a green box on that one. You can't count that as being military friendly, you know, but the fact of the matter is, even when you include all of those items, the majority of them are gray boxes, which means they don't have any of those things available at the schools. So it's a severe lack of what they're actually offering. When they offer services, resources, and assistance and facilities to other minority groups, such as African Americans, such as Hispanics, such as LGBT, such as women, you know, veteran students make up all of those minority groups, and they're not offering compatible services, facilities, resources, and assistance to the student veterans either. So I think that's where this portion of the lawsuit really came into play here, is that change in law so detrimentally affected so many of the veteran students attending these schools when they actually reached out, like in Haley's case, to find that assistance, just to realize that there was none really there.
So it exposed a problem that, to this point, veterans, you didn't actually even have to know until the law changed whether or not you were an in-state or an out-of-state student. You just enrolled, and the GI Bill was paying the bills, and all was well. Is that right?
That's correct. And the fact of the matter really is before the change in law, a lot of the schools were actually classifying many of these student veterans as out-of-state residents when they actually met all the criteria to be considered an in-state resident. So they were billing the VA for that full amount, many times being in excess of, you know, $17,000 a year. So they were already taking this money from the VA, you know, and for the UNC school system to discuss, you know, they would love nothing more than for the state to subsidize veteran students. Come on, let's be honest here. For any student attending a UNC system school, the state subsidizes and the federal government subsidizes public institutions of higher education in every state, not just North Carolina. So veteran students aren't asking for to specially be granted a subsidy for us. No, we're asking for the same subsidy that everyone else is granted. So for any student to be considered an in-state resident for tuition purposes, they're in fact being subsidized by the state as well. So, you know, we have to look at things as they really are, you know, but it sure does sound, you know, kind of contradictory once you actually look at the broader scope of what we're really talking about.
Now, the University of North Carolina, again, declined to participate in this call, this show today, but I did 2 months ago when you were threatening a lawsuit but had not filed it yet. I did speak with Kimry Reinhart at the UNC system. She's head of Vice President for Federal Relations. And I want to give her a chance to explain from that conversation I had with her 2 months ago what she sees UNC having done and to support veterans and her argument against what you're saying about discrimination.
The UNC system in April of 2011, I don't know if you've seen the UNC Serves report, but put a very clear stake in the ground that says we want these students on our campuses and we will do the following things. That report was reviewed, discussed, and embraced by the UNC chancellors, all of our chief academic officers, and other groups. The UNC Faculty Assembly passed a resolution of support. You know, since then, we've opened an office at Fort Bragg to support these soldiers. We have a full-time position now dedicated to supporting military education. We have protocols for collecting information, including residency status on all military-affiliated students. We have regular communication with all UNC institutions. We've established a system-wide military affairs council where there's a representative from each campus, and we will meet. Our first meeting was on June the 21st, and we talked about, you know, as a system, how can we strengthen our commitment to these students? We've done all of this in accordance with established, you know, nationally recognized best practices established by the American Council on Education and others. And, you know, I would be willing to say with confidence that, you know, the University of North Carolina as a system of institutions and many individual institutions are doing more than most others in the rest of the country for veterans and service members. Our institutions since 2011 now grant health and PE course credit for military service. They're providing more transfer credit for military education, established again by our faculty taking the time to really dig deep and understand what that military education looks like, providing access to more transparent policies like a call to duty policy that permits a student veteran to seamlessly deploy and then maintain their status of a student without penalty to that student. I mean, I could go on and on and on, and I'm happy to provide this to anyone who asks for it, but quite frankly, the group that is putting this information out has never called here to ask for any of it.
Okay, so that was Kimberly Reinhart of the UNC system, recorded back in September. Jason, she's saying there at the end, look, essentially, we're doing all of this. It's new. Some of it still has to be implemented. Give us a chance to implement all these great things we're planning and we're committed to. Why are you going and suing us when you could be working with us?
Well, you know, that's exactly what we've been trying to do for the last year and a half, is actually work with the UNC school system. And for Kimberly, you know, she said before, even in a meeting that we had with her, that I hadn't reached out to her before this. That's just absolutely not the case. And some of these things will come out through its evidence in court that I've actually personally emailed her, had Congressman's office's email her, and I've got the blind copies of all those emails over the last year and a half and actually trying to do this. So what their definition of working with us instead of against us is, do what we say to do and don't stand out in the crowd. No, they just want us to be quiet and kind of kick back. But look, the fact of the matter is the UNC CSERS report has come out for the last several years. And when she says that the UNC system is one of the best in the country, no, let's clarify. It sounds like one of the best, but let's look at the facts and see what they've actually truly implemented. And standing on the grounds and saying that we've built a matrix of transferring military education credits to the university system course credit, no. I mean, I built that system actually for UNC Wilmington, and I can still point out about 10 or 12 students that have no credit, you know, saying that they're giving them the PE and health credit that they're supposed to. That was issued by a federal mandate requesting that these schools do that. Why? Because of their military training,
Haley,
because of their military education.
And Haley Perez, I want to go back to your story here for a minute, because as Jason mentioned earlier, this is not just a problem in North Carolina. There are people across the country in many, many states, veterans who are struggling because of the changes in the GI Bill that only pay for in-state tuition rates at state schools. But you actually started my understanding is you had a petition on change.org. Tell me about the support you saw on that petition.
It was amazing. I think in one day, maybe a 10-hour period, we acquired 100,000 signatures of support, and many of those comments read, oh, I'm in the same boat, or I'm dealing with the same thing with UNC. I mean, the outpouring was crazy, and to see how many people it's really affecting has helped me to continue this fight.
Is there a way you think for this to be resolved? I mean, what would it take for UNC to do in order for you to either settle or drop this lawsuit?
Well, as far as the petition is concerned, you know, I asked them to just implement the law as far as determination for residency. The Board of Governors does have the power to make sure that that's being implemented across the UNC school system. We've asked them to do that, and they chose not to work with us. You know, and in my case, too, with the residency, when I appealed the way I was treated it was less than desirable. So I think there's a lot of issues that the UNC school system still needs to work on. I know the UNC Serves is, like Jason said, it's nice, but it's nice on a piece of paper, and I don't think many veterans are truly seeing the effects at the campus level.
The university says it is also, Kimberly Reinhart told me, that they're also working on creating a system-wide residency determination situation so that you won't have an instance where you, for example, were approved as in-state by Fayetteville State, but then you were rejected by UNC Pembroke. Would having a system-wide determination help improve things, do you think?
I think that that's important. I think that, you know, some of the other cases that we've seen, that there is no list specifically for your residency, but a student might meet 9 out of 10 things, and the preponderance of evidence is in their favor, but they're still deemed as out of state. So there's definitely some inequities there as far as these determinations for residency.
And then again, though, you do have the opportunity to appeal, which the system says that's what the appeal process is for. You can go to the university level, the system level, and appeal. That appeal process is not working, you don't think, either?
No, and in some cases, the student veteran is not allowed to attend the appeal hearing at some campuses, where at other campuses they are. So that, too, is an inequity within the UNC system.
Okay.
If you have no way of actually representing yourself, then how can you actually accomplish anything?
Well, the UNC system, again, declined to participate in this show, but they say they are indeed working on some of the very issues that are pointed out in this lawsuit that Haley Perez and Jason Thigpen of the Student Veterans Advocacy Group have filed. Also, my thanks to Charles Sanchez of the North Carolina Division of Veterans Affairs, who joined me earlier in the program. You can continue the conversation on the GI Bill and student veterans online at wfae.org/Charlotte Talks. In for Mike Collins, I'm Julie Rose. This is Charlotte Talks.